There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Mark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 615, January 8th. 2013. Nasser?
This edition of F1 Weekly Podcast is brought to you by Wendy's. They don't cut corners, but you may ask yourself,
hey, where's the meat? Hey, where's the meat?
On today's program, it's a special edition, the F1 Weekly 2012 Formula One season review. And of course, that's with the globe-spinning man himself, Nasser Hamid. Nass, welcome to the studio. Quickly, before you begin, I want to give out a donation thank you, Nass, to Daniel Portenier of beautiful Switzerland, Nasser.
Great.
Yeah.
Let me see the Rolex watch.
Yeah, the Rolex watch is on layaway over at Walmart.
Okay, cool. Well, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. Pumped up. It's the new year, and happy new year to you, Nass.
Same to you, and same to everybody. And you know, motorsports is on. Dakar Rally is happening. Daytona 24 Hours is
testing.
Only a few weeks away. Testing is happening. And you mentioned the season review we are doing today. This is part one of two.
Of course. We like to spread it out so everybody is on the edge of their chaise.
There was too much excitement, and the season was long. And, you know, it was interesting in the season 2012. We see the return of Raikkonen to Formula One, the return of Formula One to the United States. In between, can't go 55 forever, so Mercedes and Nico hang him high in Shanghai. Lewis leaves home. Nanda was man of the season. While an old German disappoints for 3 years in a row, the young one joins him in an elite company and breaking your heart. So you can call Kiki D if you like.
It's all good. I'm happy. I've gotten over it. I've taken the big pill, and I'm ready for 2013. But let's discuss our beautiful season of 2012. There was a lot of excitement. Let's go right to it.
Let's go to the starting grid in Melbourne and Albert Park. What were you expecting before the season started, especially after the Uber domination in 2011?
I was expecting a faster Ferrari, and I was expecting a faster Lotus Renault, and I was also expecting, because the big news of the day was the new team effort at Williams, back with Renault, Williams, Renault, of course, fantastic histoire. So I was expecting a lot.
You did not expect the continuation of domination by
Bastian? Well, we thought, you know, we suspected that could happen. But for me, I was so blinded by the ugly nose of the beginning of the season. The nose of the vehicles was still blinding me.
It's interesting you say that, because even Stefano Domenicali said before the Ferrari car was unveiled that it's not a pretty car. And I remember talking to my friend Peter Nygaard of Grand Prix Photo after the first session. I asked him, how ugly are these cars? He says, you know, once the season gets going, nobody will talk about it. Everybody will forget about it. And, you know, that's what really happened, which is kind of something.
That happened the year before that, when the rear wing became small and funny looking. So, no, we have our ugly moments, but the nose was pretty ugly, and I still don't like it. And apparently there are now plans to do some plastic surgery to the nose to make it more pleasing to
more
the
attractive.
Eye.
So maybe there's a Beverly Hills Grand Prix coming up.
Very, very true. Very
okay,
true.
Going back to round one, which took place in Australia, Albert Park, on March 18, season started with a bang for McLaren, front row lockup and victory number three in Australia for JB, Jenson Button. And surprise of the weekend was the lack of pace from Red Bulls, which really, really surprised me. I thought this just, since we're not having a lot of rule changes, that they will keep on steamrolling. And Mr. Webber, Mark Webber, was racing not only on home soil, but also where he made his point-scoring Grand Prix debut in a Minardi, the back-of-the-bus operation. He started fifth, sharing row three with his teammate, but Sebastian made it to the podium in second, in between the two McLaren boys, while Webber came in fourth. There were two Aussie mates, which this is good, you know, anytime you have homeboys finishing in the points. Daniel Ricciardo, or Ricciardo, from Perth, Western Australia. He came in ninth, and just relax, nothing will change. The more they change, the more they will remain the same. It was in this race that Romain Grosjean started a tradition that will continue for most of the season. Now, do you remember the dice between Pastor Maldonado and Nando, your hero, your god?
It was very exciting.
Yeah, but Pastor should have really finished that race, but did not. And he pulled out a Maldonado and crashed heavily with a lap to go. But, you know, good thing. It was a pretty serious crash, if you recall. He was okay. Nando collected some valuable points from his fifth-place finish. The Grand Prix returnee, Mr. Kimi Raikkonen, was seventh in his Renault-powered Lotus. Sergio Perez qualified 17th, but took a five-grid place penalty for a gearbox change. And we saw this quite a bit, especially in the early part of the season. He soldiered on to finish 8th, both HRT drivers, Pedro de la Rosa and your favorite, and every German's favorite except for Sebastian Vettel, Naren Karthikeyan, did not qualify after failing to meet the 107% rule. Jenson Button, fastest lap, 2 laps from the end of the 58-lap race. Victory was number 13 of his career. And so, of course, after winning the race of opening round, JB leads the championship from Vettel and Hamilton.
And McLaren looked very fast, and they looked like they were the ones to watch, unlike Renault Red Bull.
Renault Red Bull? Or that's Red Bull Renault?
Well, come on, without the package. Okay, Red Bull Renault. But still, McLaren looked fantastic, 1-2 finish on pole. We thought that there could be some domination from Ron Dennis and company. Things change very quickly in Formula One NASCAR.
That is very true, and I was really hoping that we can have a very good season with, you know, Jenson Button, smooth operator, fighting LCH, the ever the hustler. But again, it was not to be. Shall we move on to round two?
Yes, this is my favorite race of the beginning of the season.
Gee, I wonder why. Sepang International Circuit, the Malaysian Grand Prix, March 25th. Do you like, you know, this was, if I recall correctly, this was the very first Hill K track. What do you think of this track?
You know, it's an okay track, especially, and there's a lot of rain, and I've gotten used to seeing this track. It's a big track.
I like this track very much. It's a very nice track. This is not Bahrain International or
no, it's not Bahrain.
Kimchi Circuit.
It's okay.
I remember the first time, you know, there's this restaurant in Los Gatos called Double D's.
My favorite place.
Really?
And yeah, me and Steve Faub go there all the time.
Holding hands?
He gets one D, I get the other D.
Oh, wow. And so what happened, we did not have the Speed Vision channel in at that time. So a bunch of our friends, you know, we got together, I think 10, 12, we went there. It was very late in the evening. And they put on this one of the big screen TVs for us, which was nice of them. And I will never forget, as soon as the race started, they were showing a aerial cam or something like that. And I just could not believe how wide the track was. You know, I was used to like Brands Hatch.
Well, these are the new Machismo tracks.
Yeah, exactly.
Mega track.
Yeah. But going back to the 2012 Malassi Grand Prix, it was Kimi's turn to take a five-grid place penalty for gearbox change. Colley saw another McLaren lockup of the front row, again LCH over JB. LCH is pretty good. His record over Jenson Button in qualifying is very impressive as teammates. Michael Schumacher qualified third, 5 places ahead of the man who dethroned him as the all-winning Red Baron back in the day, the one and only Señor Muy Macho Hombre de Oviedo, Fernando Luis Alonso. It was at this track, and this I remember very well, it was at this track many moons ago in a Mile 7 Renault that Nando took his first ever pole and podium in Formula Uno. Do you remember?
Oh, yes. Just like yesterday.
Oh, really? Cool. And it was at this track 5 years ago he won for the first time for his then second best friend, Señor Ron Dennis. Yes.
Lovers.
Now, that victory remains as one of my, in the last 20 years, one of my all-time favorite wins of any driver.
As it should be.
No, it was a tremendous, I still have that image, you know, race starts and they're going into the corners. And there is, because they, I think the McLarens were not on the front. I know he was not on pole. So it was a surprise to see him. And his little buddy, his teammate, he was right behind him. I said, wow, Nando first and this guy. That was a very good win, I have to say. In 2012, Nando added another great victory to his tally as he held off an ever-charging Sergio Perez to win in a car that had no business winning. The McLaren had business winning, but this Ferrari last year was...
Definitely not.
Yeah, this was not even a podium car, frankly speaking. And Perez almost gave Sauber a long-awaited maiden win. Lack of experience or irrational exuberance gave pain in the corazón of Mexican race fan. But second on the podium behind Nando in any race is no mean feat. Would you be happy to take second to Nando in a race?
Absolutely. Anybody would.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe one or two exceptions there.
Yeah.
Yeah. LCH was again on the podium and Jean-Éric Vergne scored his first F1 points by finishing 8th, which was good. He came very close to scoring on his debut but did not work out. First retirement from the race, surprise, surprise. Lap 3 was Grosjean who spun out. Weather played a part and the race was red flagged, but this time we did not see Kimi with ice cream, which kind of hurt my feelings.
That's true. Malaysia, Kimi, Haagen-Dazs has been using that for years.
Yeah. Yes, but the important thing was there was no Haagen-Dazs, but it was in this race that Sebastian Vettel found a cucumber on the road. Bastian was the first man outside the top 10 point-paying position and was not happy to be 17 points behind the championship leader after just 2 races into the 2012 season. 56 laps in the Petronas-sponsored Malassi Grand Prix, also known as Malaysian Grand Prix, and your man Kimi Raikkonen set the fastest lap on lap 53 in his Lotus. Anything that stands out about the Malaysian Grand Prix?
Nando wins.
That's always good.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty important track for him, his victory in Ferrari, in a McLaren.
Absolutely. He does well in Malaysia. Things seem to work out well. I like Malaysia. It's a good track. This was a good race. And Ferrari certainly needed this win because they knew and everybody talked about how not only the car was ugly. But
it was fugly.
But it was fugly.
Yeah. And you know, I was thinking the other day as I was trying to put some thoughts about this review. In the different races, you know, we have some historical perspective. And I said, what really stands out about this race? You know what really stands out for me? Do you remember when Michael Schumacher, if I remember correctly, after he broke his leg, this was the race he made his comeback in? It was so way beyond pathetic how he let Eddie Irvine pass him twice. I mean, that was...
It was payback.
That was just...
The loving Eddie.
I mean, if this is how you have to win the championship... I mean, letting a guy go by one time, I can understand. Comprende. But 2 times, are you really a professional racing driver, Mr.?
Schumi is a funny, fickle kind of a guy.
You know the story behind what happened there? I mean, I don't know if it's true or not. Why he came back. You know, the story is told that he was not going to come back, and his people were telling Luca that, you know, doctor has said this, doctor has said that, he cannot come back. And the theory is, or whatever, that Luca Montezemolo called his home one day in Switzerland. Daughter answered, Gina Maria. He asked, where is your papa? And she goes, daddy is playing football with my brother. So he
really? I thought Montezemolo just didn't like Mika Salo's haircut.
Mika Salo or Mika Hakkinen?
No, whatever.
Yeah. Well, who knows what he likes? Right now, he has some issues with Bernie Ecclestone.
The haircut again.
Yeah.
It's that Dutch boy thing.
Okay. Well, now shall we go to Shanghai?
Ding, ding, wing, wing, wing.
You order now.
Yes.
Number 5 or number 7?
Yes, son.
Okay. Steamed rice or chow mein?
I like Mongolian beef.
Oh, that's my favorite. It's my with extra green onions. Yep. Mmm, love it. Okay. Hang him high in Shanghai. Mercedes front row after LCH gets a 5-place grid penalty for gearbox change. Maybe they should take that car to AMCO. MCO. No, I mean, this. If somebody's getting a penalty every race. Not good at that level, you know. Okay, first ever pole position then for Nico Rosberg. Let's not forget, he also set the fastest lap in his Grand Prix debut with Williams in Bahrain. Many moons and sandstorms.
And we talked about that for a long time. We were so excited that day.
Yeah, he was very young and, you know, such a big name. And if you recall, I think he had made a mistake or spun out in the first, on the lap, opening lap. Something Sebastian Vettel also did in his debut at Indy. But then he came back to finish in the points. And Rosberg was very impressive to put the fastest lap. Not many people have done that. Okay. Bastian did not even make it to Q3, which was kind of a surprise. Nico led from the start with his illustrious teammate in second. This could have been a very easy Mercedes 1-2, but Schumi had to stop right after his first tire change as one of the wheels was not secured properly. Remember Nando had this problem in Hungary one year when he was dominating the race?
Mm-hmm. Shocking.
Yeah, these things happen. Nico put in a dominating performance, which saw him take his first ever F1 victory after 111 Grand Prix starts. First Grand Prix win for Mercedes since Monza 1955. McLaren boys took the other podium steps with Button second and LCH third. They were followed by the two Red Bulls, not bad for a number 2 driver ahead of number 1. Romain Grosjean finally finished his first race of the 2012 season without crashing in 6th place, and that's a pretty good chunk of points. The Williams boys were 7th and 8th with Bruno Senna ahead of Maldonado. Nando was 9th, and the final point from 10th place finish was collected by Kamui Kobayashi, who also recorded the fastest lap on lap 40.
Where was Felipe Massa? Was he even in China?
Yeah, he was in China. He was in Australia. He was in Malaysia.
Okay.
Yeah, he was warming up the seat and the tires for Nando in the early part. So after 3 races, we had 3 different winners from 3 different teams. And LCH led Button in the championship off to China. How did that make you feel?
Shocking! But
did you order some sweet? Did you order some sweet and sour after this race?
I did, and fugly.
It was again fugly? Yeah. Okay, now the next race was, of course, Bahrain.
And of course, there was a lot of talk about Bahrain.
It was finally confirmed.
You know, the political problems. People thought the government was going to get overthrown. It was completely out of control.
The government was going to get overthrown there. It's very hard.
I know.
And they got some modern weaponry, let me tell you that.
I believe you're correct. But yeah. That was the talk of the town.
Yeah.
Freedom, abuse, people.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is, as we have seen, well, we don't want to turn this into a political thing. But anyway, there was a lot of schmazzle going on, and the race took place, and that was good. Again, that's what we're here to talk about. Sense of time was shifting, but there was no regime change. Bastian was magnificent in Bahrain, taking his first pole and win of the year. He also set the fastest lap on lap 41 of 57. Do you like this track?
I do not like this track. I think it's stinko, but, you know, I've read a lot of season reviews, and a lot of people, I think, over-exaggerated the fact that maybe the Red Bull was a little lackadaisical in the beginning of 2012. Really, it was a competitive car from the get-go. I think the worst top 14 car was the Ferrari, the fugly.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Okay, now the only thing I like about this track, you know, there's a section in the sand where they have put lots of Bahraini flags.
Bahraini flags?
Yeah, red and white. So they stand out in the desert. But otherwise, you know, I mean, this is an island nation. They could have put a race like on the you know, seashore or something. It's out in the middle of nowhere. But anyway, you know, if you pay Bernie $40 million...
It don't matter.
It don't matter whether it's desert or, you know, oasis or whatever. Okay, thanks to the Pirelli lottery, late in the race, Kimi Raikkonen came very close to passing Vettel for the lead. As Kimi said, he had one chance and Vettel closed the door on him. The Finn settled for second, and third man on the podium was his teammate, Romain Grosjean. Weber was fourth, and Shanghai winner Rosberg fifth. Alonso kept collecting points here and there, and was seventh in Bahrain.
And Nick Heidfeld was not happy.
Why is that?
Because he thought, if only they gave him a chance.
He was going to put it on pole.
Exactly.
Now, some years ago, was it, I think it was Felipe Massa who spun out going into the first corner and went right in front of Nando's Renault, Mile 7, I think. Remember that, right?
Yeah.
That was well, those,
he's paying for that now.
Yes, and also for clashing with him at the Nürburgring. That was another great race.
You know, that was actually one of the classic of the classics.
Yeah, okay, let me tell you why I like that race. All throughout the race, it was Massa's race. Nando was second or third or whatever he was. He had no chance of beating this guy. Late race, little sprinkle, little shower, whatever. He gets one minute chance, and he muscled his way, as James Hunt would say. And then he was showing after the race what you're saying. Hey, you damaged my car.
Yeah.
Stingo. I come to Ferrari someday. I talked to Luca. Okay, so there it is. Oh, talking of Luca and Nando, I was reading, I think it was quoted in the Red Bull magazine, Red Bulletin. Dr. Marcos is like, you know, Nando is very political. Instead of concentrating on the season and the race like Vettel, he was playing mind games and jokes and this and that. But that's one man's opinion.
Marco, it's a point system. He lost by 3 points. That's it. I don't know about this psychological planning. Everybody does that in the panic.
You know what you should do?
You
should send him a pack of, 6-pack of Monster energy drink.
I'm going to.
Yeah.
Sacre bleu.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, Weber was fourth. And did I say that already? Yeah, I did say that.
You may have, yes.
Oh, yes, I have. Because we went to Bahrain and then we did a flip-flop. Okay, shall we go to round 5?
Yes, round 5 is exciting.
Oh, just like Malaysia, huh?
It is exciting.
Gee, I wonder why. Circuit de Catalunya, Spain, May 13. A day that will live in infamy in Venezuela.
Oh, I don't know about infamy, but...
In Venezuela.
In Venezuela?
Yeah. No, this was a tremendous day. I mean, I was very happy for him. I never thought this guy's going to win a race, but he did. I don't think I'm the only one out there who thought that way.
No, I thought it was exciting. I thought it was great for Pastor. It was great for his career. It was great for Sitko. It was great for Chavez. I mean...
Sitko. I've never seen that name on a Formula One car.
No, yeah.
It used to be on Milka Dono's car, bro.
You betcha.
Okay, in qualifying at Catalunya, Lewis Hamilton was supreme but lost his pole position as the team tried to pull out Jackson Brown and had to instruct Lewis to stop the car on the track. This put Pastor on pole and local hombre Nando next to him on the front row.
Bravo.
Yes, and as expected, Alonso made a great start and again muscled his way into the lead at the start. But it was the day of rain in Spain for the man from the colonies. Natives were getting restless as Señor Alonso gave chase to the man he hardly sees in front of him, Pastor Maldonado of Venezuela. The Williams driver took an amazing win and was hoisted on the podium by Nando and Kimi, which was very touching and nice to see Team Willy win a race since Monty in Brazil many moons ago and drive-thrus ago at McDonald's. And this is what Frank Williams had to say, courtesy of Sky TV.
For you and for the team as a whole?
Well, thank you for asking. For me, a relief. Very, very many years since we last won a Grand Prix. But for all the boys out there, some of whom you can see where the majority are still working, as all Grand Prix teams do, long after the race is finished, million thanks to them and to all the people at the factory.
Grosjean was fourth, Kobayashi fifth, and Vettel sixth. Schumacher, oh, this was very important. It became very important. Schumacher rear-ended Bruno Senna during the race. That will earn him a penalty for the next race, which will prove very costly. Doom, doom, doom. Any thoughts on Pastore winning?
It was a wonderful win. It was great because, of course, it was Frank Williams' 70th birthday, and there was no better present for Frankie Boy. Like you said,
Frankie Boy.
We're close.
Sir Frank Williams, not Frankie Boy.
Frankie, big boy, right. When there's women in the room.
And also there was a fire in the Williams pits right after the race. So if anybody missed that memo, they can go on
YouTube.
YouTube or read about it. Okay, sir. Shall we move to round 6 in the streets of Monte Carlo?
Monaco,
the crown jewel of Formula Uno, May 27th. The glitz and glamour capital of Formula One and the king of kings, Michael Schumacher, took pole position. His first and only in his second coming, but it was not to be.
But it was very exciting.
I felt good.
And I, with the parking at Rascas and everything else, I felt good for the old geezer.
No, me too. And it was, it's just like, when you have drivers and their sons come up through the ranks, you feel a sort of a throwback to the old days. And that's what it was. What really was interesting about him, even though he did not live up to my expectations second time around, is that at least the guy was doing his best. Even in his second attempt, he probably had more commitment, desire, application than people who were making their debuts or, being in their prime.
Absolutely. It was very impressive.
Yeah. So, he did all his mind and body and soul could do, but I guess Father Time caught up to him. Okay. So when the penalty from the previous race for rear-ending Bruno was applied, he dropped 5 places. Mark Webber started from pole and took his second victory in the Principality in 3 years. Winning in Monte Carlo is always great, as Kimi Raikkonen once said. And when you win it 2 times, people know you have, dos bakumbas.
Yes.
To borrow a phrase from you.
Speaking of bakumbas.
Oh, they have become bakumbas now?
Ralf Schumacher never liked Monaco.
Marco?
Schumacher, Ralf Schumacher, formerly known as Half Schumacher.
What did he not like?
Well, he said it was just way overrated.
Mark Webber?
No, Ralf Schumacher.
Said about Mark Webber?
No, about Monaco. We have a failure to communicate.
Yes, we do, sir. Let me get you a flashlight.
Thank you very much.
He said that about Monte Carlo.
Yes, Ralf Schumacher detested Monte Carlo.
Well, it may be I guess he must have been hanging around his brother's house and thought Monte Carlo was a poor place,
I think it was the trophies.
Yeah. No, the thing is, it has the glitz and glamour, but if you analyze as a racing track, I do like up and down like Macau, but you sure cannot compare it to Spa or Suzuka.
Of course not, but it is the crown jewel.
Yeah, and as a racing track, I think it's you cannot pass, but going up the Sainte Devote and going down, to the swimming pool tunnel, it has its own what you would call je ne sais quoi or something that.
I've seen some passing there occasionally.
Yeah, I remember, it's interesting people say that you cannot pass. I remember the late Michele Alboreto in 1985 passing Alain Prost twice.
And Alain Prost was not very happy about it.
Yes. Okay, so Nico Rosberg was second for Mercedes, and Fernando Alonso, I'm sure you've heard of him, he was third. Seb and LCH completed the top 5. Perez, who crashed heavily the previous year, set the fastest lap of the race on lap 49 of 78. I am told that the drivers are instructed not to spray the champagne on the royalty,
Yes, that's very true. They're not to... It's the Grimaldis, man.
I'm surprised.
The machismos.
I'm surprised Montoya won. Rules don't apply to Montoya and Kimi Raikkonen. All he has to do is turn around and say, I did not know they were there.
Yeah, everybody knows.
Nobody told me.
It's too much race. Too much respect.
Well, that's good. What happens if they spray the champagne on the royalty in, Abu Dhabi or Bahrain? They'll get fired?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, round 7, north of the border, Circuit Gilles Villeneuve, June 10th, Le Grand Prix de Canada. Shall we proceed, sir?
Yes, I'm just taking a few notes here, so that way when you're... annual review comes up, it's thumbs up.
Oh boy, I got another 3 zeros this time.
I'm just trying to be friendly, Nasser.
Yeah, I think that's how Lincoln Savings went out of business. They had one too many zeros in their
correct
accounts. Anyway, the circuit on the man-made island has been a paradise for Pussycat Dolls man, Lewis Hamilton. The ace of Stephen H. took his first ever career pole and victory here in 2007. Do you remember?
It's faded here, memory, huh? It's beginning to fade very quickly.
Yeah, okay, no worries. In 2012, he started from the front row to win his first race of the season. Grosjean was second, his first podium in F1, and Perez third, his second podium appearance of the season. Pole sitter Vettel was fourth, Nando was fifth. Vettel set the fastest lap on the 70th and final lap in the championship after Canada. Only two points separated the two best friends in Formula One today, Lewis Carl Hamilton and Fernando Luis Alonso.
What more can you ask for? But you know what? They are friends now.
I know. I think Nando has a lot of respect for... Nando knows a good racer.
Racers that bowl together love each other.
Yeah, you know, he was even in an interview. I think we played that interview where Nando is saying Lewis Hamilton. Sebastian Vettel is no Lewis Hamilton. So I think Nando knows. Of course he knows how good he is.
But don't forget, it's all political.
I don't know. He doesn't want him to come to Ferrari. I will see what happens. Okay, sir. Any thoughts on the Canadian Grand Prix, sir?
It was exciting. I like Canada.
You've been to this race, right?
I have been there in 2010 when I went to Monza. 2010 was a good year for me, Nasser.
Really?
Yeah. So
it was a complete firestone for me.
Yes, I understand. But no, Canada is a nice track, and the talk about the Pirellis and the excitement. And Lewis Hamilton always does well in Canada. I mean, he's got this track down. Even before he knew the track, he was successful.
Yeah, that's what normally happens with top-line drivers.
You believe that?
Oh, yeah. I see it every now and then.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, you know, you hear these drivers, I was new to the track. And you know, I remember when some drivers, you know, like Schumacher, Senna, when they went to a first track, Kimi went to, I think Kimi won the first Turkish Grand Prix, if I remember. I mean, for some people, it just doesn't matter. They go there, they are quick, they win the race, they do the business, and they say, see you later, pal. But that's what it's all about.
I understand.
Okay, now, another very exciting, what was the next race, sir? On the La Strada de Valencia.
It was the most exciting race of the season.
This was another. I was looking at the... This was
an exciting race.
When I was putting this together, okay, we do some research. And obviously one cannot, at least I cannot remember anything and everything after you watch a race. But when I saw the starting position of the winner, I said, man, yeah, why am I not surprised?
Mambupas.
Complete. Okay, on the street where you live, the European Grand Prix in Valencia, a few years back, 2008 to be precise, Kazuki Nakajima and Nando collided in the early stages of the race to the bitter disappointment of the local driver and crowd. But in 2012, nothing was going to come between Nando and the checkered flag, except for a few teardrops.
Giornata fantastica. Giornata fantastica. Ecco, grazie. Facci sentire anche a noi un po', eh.
Another supreme performance, and what could be better than winning a home Grand Prix? A chica from Siberia, maybe?
Perhaps.
After 7 races and 7 different winners, Nando became the first driver to win 2 races in 2012, starting 11th on the grid. Simply incredible. I mean, very, very, very impressive. What do you think?
Where was Felipe Massa?
He was warming up his seat and tire.
And tying his shoes.
And he was making sure his cappuccino was warm and his vodka with the dabushka was all chill. He is playing an important role at Ferrari.
I know. He's a servant.
You know, at one time before he got into racing, professional racing, he delivered pizza at the Interlagos track to Ferrari team. Not making this
on out. The little Vespa.
Vespa or, you know, one of those VW Beetle they have in Brazil. But this is a true story. He's come a long way.
No, he's still delivering pizza for Fernando.
Yeah. Raikkonen was second, Schumacher third. All three very successful in red cars in different eras. Victory gave Nando 111 points and lead in the championship. Vettel had the pole and another German Nico Rosberg got the fastest lap. Round 9. How would that be, sir?
Pip, pip. Jolly good.
Home of British motor racing.
Kidney pie.
Yes. Silverstone, July 8th. The British Grand Prix. Do you remember some years ago when on the morning of the British Grand Prix, the FIA people, they announced that the British Grand Prix will be moving to Donington?
Unbelievable.
I mean, that is as low as you can get.
But this is classic.
Yeah.
The fight between Bernie and the BERDC, it's just...
This is going more deeper than the basement in Chelsea, if you know what I mean.
Max?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a very, very cheap shot they took here. Anyway, Nando on pole for the first time in 2012. Sharing the front row was his friend, Mr. Mark Webber. Have you seen what Marco has been saying about Mark Webber lately? Yeah, he's pretty much on his case, too.
Yeah, I don't know what Marco's problem is, but, you know, can't he just go curling or something?
But once the race is on, friendship goes out the window at Woodcourt, and Webber duly took his second win of the season. Webber has done well here, and this is where he made that famous statement, not bad for a number two driver. Alonso second, and the second Red Bull of Sebastian Vettel third. Not the best race for the best of Brits. Hamilton was 8th and Button 10th. Kimi set the fastest lap, 2 laps from the end of the 52-lap race. I was talking to one of our friends, and he said he does not like the new layout of the circuit at Silverstone. What do you think?
You know, it takes a little... It's like the noses. You just start getting used to it. This is the modern world, the safety world. Blame Jackie Stewart.
And also, you know, the Hockenheim ring has been screwed up badly, Tilke Eyes. But I have to say, these names, the history, the magic of these places carries the race. So I still enjoy Silverstone. I still enjoy Hockenheim ring. Charles Pic was allowed to race at Silverstone in his Marussia, despite being outside the 107% rule. The final race, round 10, in part 1 of our review, is... of the circuit we were just talking about. Hockenheim Ring, July 22nd. Who was on pole, do you remember?
Fernando El Machismo. El Mas Macho.
Oh, yes. Alonso on pole, 3 Germans in the top 5 after Colli. Vettel was on front row, Schumacher 4th, and Nico Hülkenberg 5th in his 4th India. Nando on top of the podium for win number 3 of the season. Button was 2nd and Raikkonen 3rd. Kobayashi was 4th for Sauber. Vettel was 2nd on the road but fell to 5th after 20 seconds were added to his race time for leaving the track and gaining advantage in his battle with Button. Perez was 6th. Schumacher set the fastest lap on lap 58 of 67. Nando was looking good in the championship after the race in Sebastian Vettel's home ground, leading with 154 points, 34 ahead of Mark Webber, and 44 over Vettel. Now, this is pretty impressive, 44-point lead. But then again, you know, in this day and age, 2 wins will give you 50 points, so it looks like a big lead, but it's really not a lead that you cannot overhaul. And, you know, like we said at the start of the show, Formula One is coming back to America in 2012, and after the Canadian Grand Prix, Sebastian Vettel came to America, drove the New Jersey circuit in an Infiniti, appeared on the David Letterman show, and this is what he had to say about coming to America on the Letterman show.
You know what was funny? Last night I flew in, and I went through customs, and it's always a bit funny for us when we go through customs. They ask you these dodgy questions. What was the purpose of your visit in Canada? Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I was here for the race. And the guy said, did you have a good seat? I said, yeah.
So that concludes our review. Any other thoughts you may have, Mr. Rogers?
I thought it was outstanding season, but Fernando missed it by just this much.
How many times has he missed by this much?
A couple of times. Maybe three times.
Yeah.
But that's the way it is when you're a top driver. This is Formula One. It's not for children now, sir.
Let me just tell you, I mean, the miss in 2007, very, very close. That call in Abu Dhabi, 2 years ago? That was such a simple mistake that, unbelievable.
I know, but...
You know, we're all humans, I guess.
It was still an exciting race. I'm happy for Sebastian Vettel, and of course we have...
Excuse me? Did I hear you say you are happy for somebody other than Nando?
And don't forget, we have part two next week of the season review of 2012, Nasser. Maybe something will change.
Nothing will change.
I have a time machine.
Nothing will change, and it's 2013. It's going to be more of the same, I'm predicting. And I think the only person who can spoil the party would be Jenson Button. Lewis will be wondering, what did I do? And Ferrari, you know, the package is good, then it'll be nice to see Ferrari and Alonso win a championship.
It would be, because they deserve it.
Absolutely, no question about it.
Yeah, and Fernando deserves it. Nas, I just can't wait to see the new cars. I'm hoping they clean up that front nose, and that's going to be coming up real soon.
No, this was reported several weeks ago also that they're going to put some sort of...
And F1 Weekly is always a little late reporting.
No, we may have mentioned this before, but we'll see how it goes.
Yes.
They can change all they want. I hope, as long as they don't look like Delta Wing, and as long as they don't make the sound of an Audi Lemoore racer, you know, which is not very, you know, we want some big sound, you know.
I understand.
Then I'll be happy.
It's gonna continue. So anyway, Nas, thanks for another outstanding F1 season review part uno. Let's quickly talk about Dakar. Any excitement for you?
Well, yes, I'm very excited. The rally is going on, and of course, Argentina, Chile, and Peru, I believe. It started in Peru. And I think they're still in Peru. I'm taping every evening and watching the next day, you know. Carlos Sainz is doing good. Cousin Nasser Al-Attiyah is doing very good. Your homeboy, Stefan Peter Hansel, he's trying to win like for the 90th time or something like that. He has won, I think, in a buggy, on a bike, and this time he's in a mini, I believe. So I'm really enjoying this. And I note with interest, it's on NBC Sports. And guess who is the anchor for this race, for this rally? Lee Diffie.
That's beautiful, Nasser.
Yeah, so I think he will be the voice of NBC Sports Motorsport, which is fine. And let's see how it happens. And our man Robbie Gordon is there. He's always in the news. He's got one issue or the other. The other day he got stuck in the sand, and they had to help him out in the opening stage. So we'll see how it goes. And Monte Carlo Rally is about to happen. Daytona 24 Hours. I'm very, very excited. And then, you know, in February we're going to have... do you know what the first launch of a Formula One car is?
I can't divulge that information now.
Oh, it's secret?
It's all top secret.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when the bus comes around. And, of course, we are waiting for Force India. Will it be Sutil or Jules Bianchi?
Yeah, and let's not forget, Paul d'Arista still isn't technically signed.
He has not been confirmed.
No.
Yeah, and you know...
And Caterham is on the verge of exploding with the news.
Yes, and the thing is... with Force India, there's too much going on. You know, this Vijay Mallya's airline, F. Kingfisher, their license has been finally revoked. They got problem. He has sold a major portion of his company, United Breweries, to Diageo. Diageo already has a sponsorship in Formula One with Johnny Walker. So we don't know if they will continue to throw money at Force India. And his other partner who bailed him out when he first got into trouble, Mr. Roy Subrata Sahara, his company has been told to pay over $1 billion to the Indian Securities and Exchange Commission. So I have a feeling that Force India will probably see a change of ownership in the next... when I say change of ownership, probably a change of name also in the next year or two.
Maybe Eddie Jordan will buy it.
Eddie Jordan?
He knows how to get there.
Yeah, but I think, it's... It's a tough way, you know. I mean, you look at HRT, they couldn't find any buyers, but they were based in Spain. That was also, plus did not do much. But this team will be bought by somebody.
Nas, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
We'll talk to you next week. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.